Everyone, welcome. Dana Walsh, Brent Martin here. Glamless and more. We're kicking off our spring into summer sessions.
Oh, yeah.
On this lovely Saturday. Lovely Saturday. Hey, Dana. How you doing?
Hey, Brent. I'm doing great. Hey there, Mark.
Hi, Dana. Hi, Brent. Good to be with both of
hey,
you
Mark.
Again.
Love it. Love
I was
it.
Thinking about
back
it.
Together.
Yeah, I was thinking, trying to remember how long it's been. So, I think Brent, you and I met 5 years ago. Started
Indeed.
Our, we did our core series about 5 years ago in June. We met and then came out in September. We've been doing the sessions. The sessions, it's such a, I love that term because I'm kind of come from a music background, sessions, for about 4 years now. So it's really awesome. And I love so much that we have so many people returning every time, because what's beautiful about these programs is the seasons always change and it's always time to focus on something new. Right, so in the spring, we're focusing on the liver and how to safely and gently detoxify the liver in a really foundational way, not just like an extreme purge, which those can be beneficial, but not until these foundational things are in place. And that's what we want to talk about today. We're also going to go over our spring session, what's involved. And what to expect if you decide to join us. And we also have some written in questions, so we'll cover those. And if we have time and energy and everybody feels up for it, we will take some live calls, live questions. So it's always a hope to get this in an hour. I'm not sure about that. So we'll get most of the information done in an hour and possibly the questions towards the end. So, everybody check their spaces and how's the sound? How's any
sounds
background
great.
Noise? Okay, good.
Everything's yeah. great on this end.
Okay, awesome. So the liver, oh, I swear, I feel like we just have to like take a second. It's just coming to me now. Just like take a second and feel your right side just under your rib cage there. Put your hand. And just feel this amazing organ that's just working so hard for us. I'm just
thanks,
really
buddy.
Feeling it. Yeah, it's big, kind of a big buddy compared to the others. But
big buddy. Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
But it's just, wow, what livers are doing for us in this modern day. It's kind of amazing. It just and it feels really good just to kind of put your hand on it and just give it some energy and some appreciation there. Okay, so the liver. Wow, detoxifying organ, a major detoxifying organ. What else can we say about the liver? It stores vitamins. It conjugates toxins into a less harmful metabolite to be excreted. What else can we say about the liver? Hormones. Digesting fats, digestion, I mean, it goes on and on. So what happens when our livers are overwhelmed with toxicity again from modern day life and the pollution? Jeez, the pollution. I'm getting to the point where I can't listen to all these, you know, reports on how much toxicity we're exposed to, right? I mean, it can get seriously overwhelming. So instead, we're going to focus on how to keep the filters running. and, you know, when we are exposed to all these toxins just by being out in the world, that's one thing. But when you have chronic illness, there's all the waste products from the pathogens, and it just gets totally overwhelming, right, Mark?
Completely.
Yeah. So I want to talk about when people want to do a liver detox, and it's always with the best intentions. And if someone is just a normal person in the world and they want to go on a liver cleanse, whether it's a juice fast or even a gallbladder flush, they want to go for it, they can probably handle it. But let's say there's someone that's been chronically ill for, you know, the people in this group, a lot of them, you know, decades. I'm going on like 19 years of moving through this stuff. So what happens if somebody tries to do an intense liver detox and they've been sick for a long time? Let's talk about pushing that organ that you're trying to support and why that's a problem.
Well, you and I know, Dana, from previous conversations, and hopefully people have listened to some of these, that I'm going to focus on, I think the gas in the brake is building and cleansing. And Bernard Jensen taught me that over almost now 42 years ago. Oh, my God. No, it's longer than that. I don't want to think. and he talked about, people want to focus on cleansing. And what I like to start, since I'm dealing with people usually further down the road, and almost all your people listening are extremely well-educated and very effective, is that I want to build the strength into their body before I start the cleansing. Because if they've had problems, they probably need to have more anabolic building, you know, before they go to detoxing. Because usually what happens is when you push your body into detox, whether it's, you know, liver, kidney, intestines, lymphatics, if the organ that's the most important, obviously we can't do without a liver. If that's a little bit behind the curve and suddenly you throw a big load at it, you have to think, well, let's see, my liver is going to do two basic things. It's going to give me energy to keep going and rebuild tissue, and it's going to detoxify. And if we're tired and we're not working well and our nervous systems are in trouble, we're probably not building enough strength into the body at that moment. And so to push it into a detox mode when it's already behind, when I'm talking to people that are having trouble exercising and they don't have the energy to do what they want and their mind isn't working the way they want and their emotions are overwhelming, I can say with pretty good certainty that if we make you stronger, then your detox capacity comes up along with your strength and stamina for daily life. Does that make sense?
Of course. So really one of the most important things is to unburden the liver, unburden all of our organs, but it's by exposure, okay? So that's the most important thing, is just limiting exposure to the toxins we breathe in our homes, the toxins, toxic environments, right? The stuff we put on our skin. We know all these things. So limiting those things every day is very important. But when we start to unburden the liver and other organs, like you just said, we have to be careful with that, because when you start to detoxify, it takes a lot of energy for that organ. So it's best to support first and kind of slowly detoxify. And that's what this program's about. I want to be really clear. I was reminiscing with you, Mark, how when 4 years ago I said, I want to do a self-care program and I want to teach people how to gently cleanse and, you know, bring in the good stuff and then cut out all the bad inflammatory stuff. And you said, do not have people stop their bad habits, for example, sugar or heavy processed flour, dairy if they can't handle, don't have them stop cold turkey because that's going to send them into, one, a fast detox that they already have tired organs, and two, this is such an interesting thing. You said if somebody is on somebody's on a SAD diet, SAD American diet, processed food, our beautiful, amazing bodies are using that less than perfect food as fuel, and it's adapted to it. So as soon as you take that out, it's going to say, where's my hit, right? So really, it's like that pastry every morning is probably, it's horrible, but it's a thing giving you energy. So you're going to notice a huge drop in your day, right? Because you've taken out the energy source, this imperfect energy source, and then you started to detox. So instead, what we've done in this program, and with your guidance there, Mark, first things first is go ahead and do the normal diet if that's something you do. But just add in hydrating foods. We work on hydration in this. We drink water. We add in hydrating foods and building foods like these mineral broths that are in this program. And then add in very digestible fiber. And we'll get to the fiber at some point. But just a few things you add in and you kind of crowd out the bad things. And what's so interesting, Mark, I heard you say, when you do that, you actually stop craving the less than perfect foods because you're getting energy. You want to talk a little bit about getting the energy back in the liver and what can happen there?
Sure. If we're in the, you said it, but I'm going to use a different set of words. The foods you're recommending people eat are easily digestible.
Yeah.
We're not telling them to eat complex things. We're telling them to do things that are almost like putting gas in the carburetor. I'm a little too old. Most people have fuel injection. But if you put in the Beelers and the other things you're recommending, your digestion doesn't have to really come up to a high level of efficiency because you're putting in something that's just going to goose, it's going to feed your body energy with very little waste, almost none. And your liver's not going to have to work really hard to convert that into energy. So the fancy way of saying that is we produce energy called ATP, adenosine triphosphate. All you got to think of that is I have energy to run. And we call it the Krebs cycle or the citric acid cycle, and B vitamins and minerals are the key parts of that, and that's what's in your program. So if someone calls me and says, you know, what can I do, and you're so expensive and all that, I say, look, sign up for the program, go listen to the past stuff. They'll tell you how to build very quickly strength into your body by eating things that you can absorb even if your system isn't perfect. Then you're going to get more energy. As you get more energy, your blood sugar, my blood sugar, would stabilize somewhat. Oh, then my cravings for chocolate and sweets and carbs goes down. Oh, well, that's nice. Now I'm not putting in as much garbage. You talked about the things we breathe and touch with our skin. But if I have energy and suddenly my cravings aren't dominating my field of vision when I walk in the store and look for a lemon bar, suddenly I can look at vegetables and like, wow, I'm not starving. And I really would like some vegetables. But when I'm starving, I have no control. My prefrontal cortex, my brain, is saying, I don't know how to stop you. You just got to eat something really quickly right now just to keep yourself from falling on the floor. But when I have energy and you've done it in an easy way, I actually have a rational brain. I can actually pause and maybe make a better choice. That make sense?
Of course. Well, yeah, and that's sort of like, you said you don't go for the chocolate, and I'm going to kind of debate the chocolate thing a little bit with you. The garbage chocolate, but then
well,
there's the
raw
cacao.
I mean, yeah. totally agree.
Don't forget about the beautiful chocolate, Mark.
That's right.
Sorry, I'm referring to the Hershey's and the stuff that people
I'm
going to
defend the beautiful raw cacao because I do use bit of it.
I will eat the beautiful raw cacao, so I'm not against that. That's not what people – and people tell me they like it, but it's so expensive, I'd rather buy Hershey's. And I'm like, okay.
No, that's where all the bad fats and sugar, right? But, I love what you're saying there. You just – it's almost like you're just more grounded. That's the word that's coming to me. When you've had sufficient nutrients, you're more grounded, you're making better decisions, and you're not in that fast, let me just get through this day with quick energy from less than perfect foods. And so that's something I want to bring up here. You know, when I put on the email saying that Lyme disease is so big, it's such a big disease because there's so many layers to it and it can be quite overwhelming. So I think what happens is we feel that the treatments and detox have to be as big and as painful, you know? It's like if it's not hurting me and I'm not hurting and I don't see dramatic things happening, nothing's working. Now, this is not to say that I'm not a believer of big detoxes and big treatments, but I'm saying, and this is what we say over and over, is you have to have these foundational pieces in there to support your beautiful body in the treatment and the detox. And again, that looks like getting hydrated, moving your bowels, getting proper fiber, getting good digestible, mineral-rich foods. In this program, we focus on soups, some smoothies, and just very, like you said, Mark, very digestible foods. And I just want to take a little tangent there because candida comes up quite a bit. And I just want to say, in all the research and all the study that I've done, don't freak out about the sugar. Don't freak out. Yes, freak out about processed sugar. But it's not so much the sugar and all these other things. It's food that isn't digested. Undigested food becomes, you know, food for candida. It becomes food for pathogens. It's just that's where the mess begins. So simple, digestible foods. And soups, we've been over this before, because they're cooked and the cellulose wall is broken down and they are blended a lot of times, excuse me, are very digestible, like baby food. So we have a lot of Beeler's fans on the call, I'm sure, because we've had people that, excuse me, have been with us for years. So this is how we start our programs. So you would agree with that, Mark, that a program that hurts, meaning like let's talk about like a heavy liver cleanse or a gallbladder flush or something like that. Mm-hmm. We're not saying that those aren't great. It's just there's steps to take before you get there. Yeah.
Correct. And you think of it as steps or, you know, I talk about things that are graduate level tools. It's really simple. You know, people are always talking about phase one, phase two, phase three, which nobody talks about, of liver detoxification. And the phase three, you and I both, Dana, we work backwards. The first thing.
Well, before you go backwards, let's go forward. Let's explain what those are. Let's talk about. Okay, so the liver has three levels of detoxification. There's phase one, which is the sort of the enzymatic process where it takes the toxins and makes it a more more able to deal with. But then phase two makes these fat solubles, these really tough toxins, these fat soluble toxins, they conjugate it into a water soluble toxin, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's phase three where it's carried out of the body. Well, a lot of times the problem comes and people have a decent phase one where it's like, okay, we're getting rid of this. But they don't have the phase two part where it's the second part of eliminating it. And what I understand is with phase one, if your phase one is really working and it's creating a more concentrated toxin and you don't have phase two in place, you're in big trouble there because there's an intense amount of free radicals and other problems. That's why antioxidants are really important. That's why I put some really high-level antioxidant foods in this program. But, so those are the three phases, and it can get quite junky. But what you're saying here, Mark, is the end phase there, after you have, like, if you've completed phase one, phase two, and it's all clear, phase three is very complicated, isn't it? What's required for phase three?
You know,
it's really hard.
It's so difficult. It's water and fiber. That's what it is.
It's so expensive.
And then water and fiber, and then the dreaded word, you have to shit a lot. Potty mouth. If you have good water and fiber and you can do a little bit of movement in your body, you will eliminate all those nasty toxins from phase two pathway that it worked. However, you and I know that I've talked to too many Lyme people and other people that I see in my practice that when I ask them how often they have a bowel movement, well, at least every other day, as long as I drink my coffee. And then I just saw a woman recently, very recently, who goes once a week. And I'm going, you can't push detox when you're not going at least once, and I prefer twice a day, assuming they're eating food. So I'm going, you don't want to push liver gallbladder flushes, as we were starting this conversation. because you're going to back up your phase two pathway and you're going to feel, that's why you said, no pain. I like people to feel so good that when they do a flush, they get energy. They don't go backwards, they come up. But if you don't get that phase three, if you don't get the fiber in the water, which is what your program's teaching people to do, and you don't get a little motility in the colon, you're going to suffer.
That's right. So the bile and the fiber is what carries it out. It's really important. So I love that we're starting that way. Okay, start with phase three. Start with the fiber, water. Start clearing that colon. And it's that osmotic gradient that we talk a lot about, where if you clear the bottom, everything above is going to have a place to go. And it's so helpful to have that picture. You know, if you're backed up in your colon and you're constipated and you try to do, let's say, a gallbladder flush, oh, I can't even think about it, right? And it tries to release.
I did it many years ago before Jensen got a hold of me and told me, and I thought I was going to die.
Yeah.
I felt horrible. Yeah. And then, you know, then it was like, okay, you got to really make sure the colon works.
Right, because it has to dump into something. I mean, I want to share a story, but there's a lot of new people on here, and I'm really exposing myself. But, oh, here we go. So
you
anyway,
got to go for it.
Yeah. I mean, it's, okay, potty mouth, poop talk, this is how we get well. I'm sorry, this is how it is. But I just want to drive this point home where I went up to Sophia Klinghart's place. I had the great fortune to go up there in December over my birthday time. And I went to the spa and I did colonics. And I haven't done them, I mean, in years. I mean, so many years. And I did a series of colonics. I do enemas. And Mark has helped me with enemas. And I don't do them that often, but they are an amazing tool. But we'll get back to that. But I was doing these colonics and things started to move. I'm like, wow, I got this very productive. And then the next day I was so nauseous, out of my mind, just horrible. I felt awful. And I did an enema and gallstones. Just like me, I have gallstones. I don't have one bit of fried food. I eat perfectly. Gallstones. Just from moving everything, my liver, gallbladder had a place to dump it. So that's what's amazing, is just making that room. And uh-oh. What was that? I think we had a weird little sound.
Okay?
Yeah. So, Mark, so you just getting that, the colon to move, getting, you know, gentle enemas, getting things to move there can give the liver that chance. It's almost like it's holding, waiting. So if somebody went in and did a gallbladder flush or jumped right into coffee enemas, uh-huh. And I want to be really clear that coffee enemas are amazing, amazing tool for the liver, right? And for cleansing.
Wonderful tool.
Wonderful tool. But not until you've done these other steps. And I know, Mark, this is something you really teach. You want to jump into that a little bit more?
Sure.
Well,
you and I have come up with the term graduate. You know, basically it's a graduate tool. And that's why it's always first things first. And clearly you want to hydrate. Clearly you want to try and get mobility up. But if you punch the gallbladder to release a bunch of bile with coffee enema, and you don't have a clear channel to get everything out, you will feel terrible. And I've seen too many people. That's why I'm going to always tell people, you know, first you start getting the colon hydrated and your whole body hydrated, and that alone for a lot of people starts to get mobility up. They will start to have better bowel movements. But if that alone doesn't do it, obviously add in the fiber. You're going to elaborate on the fiber in a minute or two, but that's vital. It's not even slightly required. It's vital. And then when you've got that going, then you can start doing enemas or colonics, whatever you can afford and whatever works best. And on my website, I have 3 videos on enemas because I try and give away as much as I can for free to tell people how to do stuff to do self-care. And if people want to do something like an enema, because it's obviously costs less money, once you buy your $12 enema bag, you're done. Then people can learn how to take care of themselves. And the reason I also recommend enemas over colonics, and I'm not saying that one is better than the other, is when you're feeling bad at Friday night and now you're going to get on the phone and leave a message and maybe you can get in Monday and your body is toxic, it's really good if you can grab your enema bag and lay down on the floor and water in, water out, and get yourself further along so that maybe you never get the headache or maybe you never feel nauseous or maybe none of those symptoms that whoever's out there listening comes back. Then when you know it's working really well, you could graduate to a coffee enema as a really advanced tool because you already know how your colon works. You know where the little bowel pockets are. You know where it hurts when you put water in. You know where some things get hung up and the water doesn't come out. Once you've done all that, then when the coffee kicks in, you could be a whole lot better.
So I just want to be really clear, too, that some people are at a place where they can handle coffee enemas. Brent, I know you...
Oh, many.
Yeah, so Brent, I can't handle them because I just have this sluggish problem. Brent does really well with them, right? You've done them for a lot of years, and you just have a stronger system, right? So it's a good tool for you, and it's a great tool for, you know, the everyday person. But just those little bits of caution are really important there.
Well, can I add a piece so that people understand that however you want to do it works? I've been doing this for over 40 years, and I use tap water. And everybody's like, oh, my God, you use tap water? Do you know the chlorine? I know all of that. I know that the stuff I'm getting out, because it comes out and it smells, is really evil. And it's way more evil than tap water, which people are allowed to drink, and nobody stops that. And so when I get the bad stuff out, I don't even really need a coffee enema because my colon works relatively well. But about once every 6 weeks, I have to do a regular water enema because I work too much. I don't get enough rest all the time, and I don't digest really well. Sometimes I'm eating on the run just to get to work. So I know when my system backs up, water works just fine for me. And if I have time to do wheatgrass, if I have time to do coffee, if I have time to do something more provocative, I will. But I rely on water, especially when I'm traveling. I take my enema bag. I can do it in any hotel room anywhere in the world. So don't be afraid of using water just because it might have a little chemicals in it and all like that. Remember, the stuff coming out of you is way worse than the water coming out of the pipe.
That's an interesting point. I probably still would never use straight tap water. I use my Burke. There's a lot of noise happening. I don't know which end that's coming from. Maybe it's you, Mark, if you're moving.
I'll try not to move at all.
No, you're good. I use the Berkey filtered water if I do that. But, yeah, I don't want, enemas are just a tool, and it's not necessary. What's necessary is digestible foods, chewing your foods, getting the appropriate amount of fiber, as we talked about, hydrating liquids and foods like fruits and vegetables, and good fats. Now, I really hesitate to even talk about fats, but we need to because the liver gallbladder, because the food wars and the fats controversy and the keto versus vegan and the blah, 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 blah. I mean, it's nuts. And, you know, my belief is I listen to everyone and then I use what's appropriate for me in that day. And that's what we teach here. So fats aren't bad. They can be very powerful and very healing, but you got to know your limits there. And another example in my life, I was just doing sort of like the heavy fats, just a lot of coconut oil, and at the time I was eating ghee, and I was kind of feeling really weighed down and still eating some animal protein and just not doing well with it. And so I've kind of switched over quite a bit in my diet there just because it was what was appropriate. And then on New Year's Eve, I was like, oh, I'm going to party. And I had really rich food and just had major gallbladder attacks. So my point here is, while a food can be beneficial, it might not be beneficial for you in the moment. So fats, if you have a congested liver, you got to be, let's talk about that a little bit, Mark. Let's talk about getting appropriate fats. And if your liver's not converting fats to make the good hormones, you're kind of stuck. And so what would you say if someone's in that point? I know you're probably going to say use bile salt, but let's talk about that a little bit.
Okay. Well, let's start. Since you brought up bile salts, I'm going to at least refer to it, that the rule of thumb is that by the time you're 40, or by time if you've had a chronic illness, we're probably not going to produce enough digestive enzymes to be effective at breaking food down. That's just a rule of thumb. I would say 99% of the people I see, they see me because they have a problem, which means their digestive enzymes aren't good, and bile salts are one of the things that will help them, obviously with fats. And so I'm going to tell people, you know, chew your food. Obviously, we do all the things that are easy and free. Chew food thoroughly, you know, food combining, all that. And if you're doing all those basic steps that you guys teach every time, then you can add in a bile salt. Then you could add in digestive enzyme if you want. And that will usually make all of your food digest better, not just fats. And obviously, if you don't break your fats down, then you don't produce the hormones. And if you don't produce the hormones, then you get into a vicious cycle where other things don't work. So however you want it, people can do it any way they want. But I would tell the people that are out there compromised, you might want to take something, an exogenous enzyme that might have some bile salts in it, and see if that makes any difference for you. And it usually does.
I mean, I would just add to that, especially if you are on a paleo type diet that's heavy in fats and dense protein. It's very concentrated food. While it's very nutrient rich, it's very concentrated and not always that easy to digest. So that's what I love about the seasons. I mean, again, the seasons are in our bodies and every moment we're tuning into where we are. But as we are in spring now, it's funny. It's we're in spring, but it's literally like winter outside here.
Uh-huh.
It's so cold, but that's the thing where the temperatures fluctuate, right? And it's a very important time to support your body in these transitional times. I know, Brent, you're kind of rolling your eyes when I say I'm freezing and I have a wool coat on and a hat, and you're like, what? It's 90. 90 in Baton Rouge, 90s. Isn't it?
Yeah.
90s. Okay. No,
Dana, here's the thing you're doing that's really important. You're not giving people a rule because everybody lives in different places and everybody has different temperature sensitivities. So you're mm-hmm. teaching people how to think, because we're talking to people all around the world. We're not just talking to people in Marin County where it might be cold or warm or Baton Rouge. We have to teach people that you have to pay attention to your body. You have to listen, because you know whether your house is in a foggy place or shaded by trees or in your bright sun, and you know whether that cold is going to wipe you out or whether the heat is going to wipe you out. And only you know what's going to balance you out. And that's why I think teaching people how to think is much more important than giving them a rule, because we don't know where they live. We don't know how stressful life is. We have no idea what their history is. None.
Exactly. Well, that's a whole other thing. And that's what I love about these programs, is they go along with whatever you're doing. And of course, always consult with your doctor or practitioner when changing a food or any kind of tea or anything that we recommend in these programs. Always, you know, your body is very individual, and, you know, follow your program, your protocol. But I just wanted to say that as the seasons change and it does warm up generally everywhere, it will be warming up. It's a good time to pull back on the concentrated fats and the concentrated proteins if that's appropriate for you. But this is the cycle of nature right now. It's kind of, we're in the winter, it's just like whatever we do to stay warm, fats and protein. But this is a really good time to lessen those things. And I know some people are fans of Anthony William. We had Anthony in the winter, and that's one of the things Anthony really drives home, is like, you have to bring down the fats if you want to get the liver clear. There's huge arguments on that, but bring the fats down a bit so you're not backed up. Just have the appropriate amounts of fat that you're digesting. I think that's really important, because I think we get gung-ho on, like, I need all this fat. And for some people, they can handle it. Others, you know, not so much. So it's actually something we play with in this program. Moving back to the phase one and phase two, it's so interesting. So phase one is that initial, you know, the initial enzymes breaking down the toxins. But certain foods speed up that process. And I know lemons is one of those that speeds up the first process. So if you are taking lemon water and you don't have phase two in place, you can be stuck with kind of a worse situation. So it's really important to have a lot of balanced foods. So that's why I bring in some beta carotene rich foods in this program. Also the cruciferous vegetables, they will slow down phase one and speed up phase two, which is a lot of the problems people have. They have very slow phase two. So what I'm saying here is it's all included in this program. And again, you do with what feels good to you in the moment, but it's all included here. It's all thought through with different recipes. Well, and I have a really great broccoli soup. Go ahead, Mark.
Well, here's what I was going to say. A lot of times I've already looked at the questions that people send in, and people are wanting to do this for that. And that's why I'm going to always come back to food is your best medicine, Henry Beeler. And that's what he said. Because you don't have to start thinking out, am I supporting phase two enough? Am I supporting phase one? When you have the food, that's why when you put together these recipes, you're basically saying to people, we're supporting all of it because there's also fiber and there's water and there's phase one and phase two support. And so, yes, everybody has to be individual, and the food will generally support most of these phases really well if you do the food. And if you think about it, if people put in your food, they would crowd out the bad foods because those good foods would be so supportive, so nurturing, so filling in a good way.
Digestible, yeah.
Digestible, mm-hmm. You get more energy, and now your cravings for the bad stuff just start to evaporate. They just start to go away because you're feeling better and you're not crashing and your blood sugar and your adrenals aren't going down. And, oh, my God, your liver is saying, I'm working so less hard. And it's all because you gave me food that made my job easier.
Right. Absolutely. And then just everything starts working. You can make those beautiful hormones that make you feel good. And then eliminate the excess hormones, like, a lot of people are estrogen dominant. So once the liver is in a happy state, where it's completely much more balanced in so many ways. And, you know, I think this is a good segue here to talk about, in Chinese medicine, the liver is associated with the emotion of anger. And, I mean, we can go on to say that beyond anger, resentment, frustration, jealousy, shame. I mean, there's just all we've put a lot of emotions there. I think it's really important that we talk about this piece because you can have the absolute perfect diet and be ruminating in anger, whether it's your marriage or work or something in the past. You're creating this acidic chemistry in your body. And you know, I quote this. I remember Anthony Williams saying, adrenaline, okay, so adrenaline from being angry or feeling rage, adrenaline pickles the liver. So let's talk about that because I think it's so interesting. A toxic liver is going to make you less able to deal with everyday frustrations, right? So we're exposed to all these toxins. Our liver is toxic. And it makes it hard for us to deal with emotions like anger and frustration. But also, if you are in a cycle of anger and frustration, you're burdening the liver, so you have to get it on both angles, right? So,
right.
So Mark, you've seen this a lot, I'm sure, in your practice, where people are willing and committed to have a perfect diet, perfect protocol, but they're not willing to give up the anger or the resentment. It's like, don't waste your money.
Yeah, really, I would tell people that. It's to find whatever tools, and that's why you address it in your program, but find tools that work for you because remember that the hormones that are put out by those toxic emotions are really catabolic. They're destructive. And those catabolic hormones can do more damage than, you know, you could have a perfect diet, be exercising, doing breath work, all like that, and then you're getting pissed off because the emails and the text messages and the Facebook, and you don't have a way to deal with it, and now you're producing hormones that are so destructive hormones that are so powerful that you can't buffer that with your diet. It's almost impossible. So I think you have to have a three-pronged approach. You know, you're going to definitely have to eat, drink the things that work. You're going to have to move. And really important is you're going to have to deal with your emotions with whatever tools work. And that's where you guys focus a lot.
Yeah, I really, in this program to address that, I brought in Byron Katie. Byron Katie is an author of many best-selling books, but one called Loving What Is. And she developed a process called The Work. And I had the great fortune to spend 9 days with her in her school. And it's really simple and profound. And basically what it is really identifying the thought that you're thinking that's making you angry and going into inquiry around it, because it helps to kind of dissolve, take the charge out of this thought, because a thought that isn't looked into can take a life of its own, right? So for an example I used is the doctor ignored me. Now, that can be entirely true. Or if you look at it, is it true that he ignored you, or did he have 20 patients? Is his own daughter sick? Is it, you can't, that goes into another level there where you can't take everything personally. And if he did ignore you, then you know that that's not the right doctor for you, and you can move on and not take it personally. So learning to discharge these upsetting feelings and anger is so helpful. And, you know, last year I got really into it, and it was really, really powerful work we all did. And I just want to thank everyone that was on that program last year. It was amazing because we do these huddles calls, and you may have seen on our page there, our schedule page, where we have huddles calls where we get on a live call, and we break you into small groups where you get to talk to each other, and we get to go through these processes together. So it's like a mini workshop. And so we use The Work, and it's amazing, and we get really close. You know, this is a 6-week program. I want to make sure people know that we're in our orientation prep week. We're coming to a close of that. We're going to start week one next week, Tuesday, right, Brent? Tuesday is when we decided we're going to open. But do not feel orientation and prep week is just that. It's just getting oriented, and you didn't miss anything. There's a couple videos and a little declutter your life challenge, but all those things you can refer back to, and you haven't lost anything. This is self-paced. So remember that. You always start at the beginning, and it's self-paced, and we have a long time together. So, shoot, we have another 5 weeks. So even if you're traveling, it's okay. You know, if you're traveling, do a few of the little things that you know. Do a Soulful Sunday exercise, jump in Facebook, whatever supports you and where you are. So I want everybody to be clear on that.
And add a little more clarity, you know, this is a live segment that we're offering some extra live support for the next 6 weeks. But, you know, you get to keep all the recordings, you get to keep access to the members area, all of this information ongoing. So it's not like you lose it in 6 weeks, you know, you get to keep going back.
That's really important. That's really important because people think that, oh, my God, I've missed out, and I don't remember what they said in that one interview or, you know, in that exercise. So, yes, great. Thanks, Brent. You own this. You own this program. Please, Mark.
Let me add one thing, Dana. You know, I always – why do I direct people to you guys versus tell them to see me, go to Optimal Health Institute? Because people need to learn this at many levels. And you take the time to teach the stuff that's way too costly for someone like me or Dietrich to teach. And those steps are not incremental steps. They're really powerful steps. They make huge changes in people's lives. And you've seen it by the testimonials. You've seen it by the people that write in things. So I tell people, this is not a baby step. This is huge. And you have support. And no practitioner, I don't have the time to give the kind of support you have. And
yeah.
I also don't have the time to take people through what I would think of as steps that are a little too, they're easy, but they're vital. And that's
right.
The thing. It's like people don't need to pay the kind of money they pay to see any of us as practitioners when this foundational work allows any therapy you do to be that much more effective. So the foundational work, that's why it's called foundational. It has to be there so that your meds, your programs that you do with any practitioner works really well, not just slugs along.
Yes, amen to that. Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. And I wanted to say, too, that, you know, all the food and all these things are so important and the steps and tuning into your body, but the support is really essential, too. I mean, I see people change all the time, come out of their shell. And one woman last session just making the soup and saying, this was a big deal for me, and we all cheered her on, and it was like, wow, I'm understood. You know, I'm understood that it's actually hard for me to cook for myself. We're not judging you. We get that. And here's how to make it easier, and we're here to support you. You know, we know that it's hard to go out in the world when you're as sensitive as you are, and we're giving you tools to process that, and we're going to cheer you on. So it's, look, I say it all the time. I need it as much as you guys do. I've had way too much stress. I'm off the rails with certain diet things. I love getting into these programs because it keeps me in focus. So I'm thanking you guys. So let's see. Ooh, 119. You know, we have answered a lot of these questions. Let's see, is a liver cleanse necessary with toxicity, mold issues? If so, you know, with the mold issues, always you just got to work with a good practitioner. And I know you know this, Claire, clearing your environment is number one. You can do the other things, but don't even do the big stuff until you clear your environment. Mandy's asking, are liver flushes, like the one developed by Andreas Moritz, safe? Is there any way to do a liver flush without fasting? Oh, boy. Do we want to touch on fasting a little bit? I mean, that's... answer the question here. Is there any contradictions to doing a liver flush? It's everything we just mentioned.
Right, if people have done all the previous steps, they're pooping and peeing, and they've increased the hydration, they've increased the fiber, they've done everything you just outlined, then they might start with a little bit of a flush, a little bit of a fast. And that's why I tell people, why don't you start with, here's an easy one, start with a large glass of lemon water first thing in the morning, which is obviously phase one, but, you know, you do that, and you will be flushing. Flushing is not how many days can I flush. Flushing is start a process. See how you respond. Increase it from one large glass in the morning to maybe two glasses before noon. And, you know, build up to it. If you've never done it, Mandy, then it's really a good idea to go slow. There's people out there that I've done as long as 10 days, but I didn't start with 10 days. I started with one. And then once you learn what your body does and you learn whether your elimination picks up, you have to learn your body's mechanisms for detox. So never read something about a 3-day, 5-day, 7-day, oh, my God, I'm going to do this and I'll be all well. Start simply, build up to it, and every time you hit a wall, then get appropriate help so that you can figure out why you hit that wall. And then you can figure out whether you should go longer or harder.
Yeah, I mean, I've told this story before. I did a fast down at Optimum Health, and it was not a good situation because I didn't know I had all the infections. I just thought I was toxic. So it's always say get some help with that. Have someone oversee it. What do you do when you have high levels of metals and oxalates or circulating in the system and you can't tolerate even a gentle detox? gosh, the oxalates are just, you know, I went down that rabbit hole and just I've studied a lot about it, and it's very confusing, I have to say. It's not straightforward. For example, you look at the list of high oxalate foods, and they're all conflicting. I mean, they all say beets and spinach, rhubarb, really avoid those things. Let me see. I think the main thing there is working on your gut and leaky gut. Mm-hmm. So that's when you pull way back, and that's when I would say something like the GAPS might be a good plan for you. So you seal up your gut first before you even go into these more detoxifying programs. What do you think there, Mark?
I would agree completely, and I would add one other thing, which people now know, and we've known this for a while, is that oxalates are also the byproducts, the poop and the pee from the bugs. Mm-hmm. So if you do what we said all along the way, which is get your colon working, get the elimination going, create an environment where things can't replicate, where bugs can't grow, then you're going to cut down your own endogenous production of oxalates very quickly, just because, you know, when the shit ain't stinking, and your body odor has gone down, when all that's happened, oh my God, your pathogen level has dropped significantly, and your oxalates that you're ending up getting as byproducts are going way down. So, yes, well, you can watch the foods, and you can do the basic steps that you just already have outlined.
Yeah, two things there. I kind of experimented on myself because I have all the – I get the fibromyalgia pain. And I thought, oh, wow, maybe it's the oxalates. And I eat figs, okay? So figs are really high in oxalates. Uh-oh. Figs are really high in oxalates. But they're also – for people that don't know, oxalic acid in foods can bind to calcium and create painful crystals. But what's so interesting is figs, for example, really high in oxalic acid but really high in calcium. So does it cancel? You know, it's just all very mysterious. So I've tried different things, and some foods that were really high in oxalates didn't affect me at all, and then some did. So it's very hard, but I think what it comes down to is everything you're saying there, Mark. One, leaky gut, look into that. I think Restore is a great product just to start with. And two, getting the pathogen load down. Mostly candida, and that's really, I'm really glad we bring this up, because this is something we go into with Donna Gates, the author of The Body Ecology. In this program, we talk about candida and how candida produces oxalates, and her recommendation is probiotics from different things, but one of the things we recommend is Kavita. You know, it's in the store, Kavita, it's a drink, it's lovely. It has high levels of L-plantarum. L-plantarum degrades oxalates. So isn't that cool? So, and it also helps with candida. And going all the way back, the thing that helps with candida the most is that you're digesting your food, right? So candida comes when you have undigested food fermenting. Are you with me there, Mark?
Completely. It works.
Okay.
You've outlined it so well, I don't need to say anything other
than that. That is so much I hope people can follow. So what's the short answer there? Work on your gut. Sure, try a low oxalate diet and do the things that we talked about. But in this case, I would probably look to something like the GAPS. Somebody says elevated liver enzymes, drink dandelion tea, liver support coffee, and then oh boy, how do I prepare for liver for surgery? That sounds like you're doing all the things to prepare, Sarah, and I see this is really hard. We don't know why you're having surgery. I think keep doing what you're doing there. Somebody's asking about coffee enemas again. Gallbladder. Shelly says she has a gallbladder attack. I didn't mean to laugh. I just, like, that's like a nervous laugh because I've had so many gallbladder attacks in the last year. It's not fun at all. She's asking which foods are healing for the gallbladder. Well, is that what we're going to get into, which foods are healing? I think it's just, again, I would recommend reducing your heavy fats. It's funny, some of the fats like olive oil can be harder to digest, where, you know, something like a little bit of coconut oil is better. Mark, you like beets, but beets very high in oxalates, but beets can cleanse the gallbladder gently,
you know,
if you take small amounts.
You know that some people, if they're careful, could use fast food in small doses, very small doses.
Because you're thinking that she might have gallstones? But
it almost always works for that kind of pain, that, especially that horrible gallbladder pain, which I've had it. It's horrible.
Yeah, and that's how I started this new year, with the gallbladder situation, with the heavy fats. And I say pull back on the fats and the concentrated proteins and cleanse the colon. It really, it's amazing what happens when you make room there. Another person asking about mold. All these things work to support whatever you're doing. Wow, lots of people asking about coffee enemas, eh? Somebody's asking about candida. Well, I hope you're in the program there, Sarah, because Donna Gates is kind of a candida queen, so lots to learn from her. People asking about essential oils, always helpful. Someone's saying my gallbladder has been removed. How does that impact detoxifying? So, Mark, in that case, would you just say you kind of have to do ox bile, or what
would
you say there?
I would never tell someone to give up ox bile if they've had their gallbladder removed. I think they're on it the rest of their life. I don't know any other way to do that. There may be one, but I've never found it.
Okay. And kind of everything we talked about, maybe reducing some of the heavier dense foods. Not to say that you can't have meat or fats, but just have it a smaller portion so you make sure you're digesting that. What are your thoughts on gallbladder flushes? A lot of people asking that. Yeah, they can be great, supervised, but do these steps first. But that's what we say there. I just got through all the questions. Yay! Okay, you guys, so it's been an hour. I'm going to go over our session schedule, and then what do you think? You want to take some live calls or questions?
Dana, I can be available for the next half hour easily if you want live calls. I'm more than happy to do it.
Okay. It's always a matter of energy, you know. I always appreciate everybody jumping on this call, and it's a lot of information to process, but, you know, you can always go back to it in the recording, so remember that. Okay, spring session, it's orientation and prep week. We are going to open week one starting Tuesday. It's not too late. You haven't missed anything. This is our first call, so you're on it right now. The orientation and prep week, we have some videos, educational videos, and that video, we have Dr. Sanja Schwag, awesome ILADS doc, talking about cleansing with Lyme is critical. Great interview with him and a recording of the Q&A. We also have the Declutter Your Life Challenge. So that can be as big or small as you like, and they're both effective. So asking you to just declutter one little part of your life. It could be a drawer. It could be your handbag. You could conquer those closets. But do one little thing just to get the energy moving. And there's more about that in the Declutter Your Life Challenge. Very important, don't you think, Mark, to make room when doing this kind of thing with feng shui?
I think it's vital. I think it's vital because we just had a conversation a few minutes ago about the emotional stuff. And every time we walk around with a negative thought about, I don't like how my bedroom is, my desk is a mess, we start thinking unconsciously that we're a mess. And so I think decluttering calms everything down. I think that's why you have to do a full program like you guys do, where you take on all of their lives and clean up whatever can be cleaned up. We're not just cleaning up our gut. We're cleaning up our emotions. We're cleaning up our environment. We're trying to make it so that our whole body and our whole being can process with less distress.
Well, it's when you look at clutter, it's just such a reflection of what's going on inside, the overwhelm, right? Taking on too much, feeling brain fogged and not able to process everything. So decluttering really helps you to kind of do that on the inside as well. You know, sometimes my desk is such a mess, I just take the piles of paper and make them more organized, and it helps. You know, it doesn't have to be a big thing. Or cleaning out your supplements, that's something that's always really powerful. Like just getting your little supplement drawer organized, or in my case, big cupboard. But or just cleaning the refrigerator. Oh, my gosh, how good can that feel? So week one on Tuesday, we're going to go into week one. Mark, that's when we have interviews with you. We have another live call. That'll probably be towards the end of the week. We have the spring eating guidelines, recipes, and menu ideas. We start our mineral broth. We have lots of detox recommendations, and then the first Soulful Sunday. Soulful Sundays are days where we meditate. I give exercises, and it's a day of meditation and sharing, so we can share on Facebook. And it's really powerful. It's a way to kind of shift your perspective into one of healing instead of one of being sick. Really fun to see the participation in that too. Week two, we talk more about the liver gallbladder and more recipes. We have huddles calls. And then by week three, we have Tom Walter, who has a book called The Elimination Diet. It can be a little intense, but if you're up for it, he talks about a very clear elimination diet. What we're asking is just take the things that you're having troubles with, like if you've gone back to dairy and you're not doing well with it, or you've slipped and you're eating too much sugar. Maybe with this group, we'll give you support on pulling that out of your diet now that you've done the other things. And then some, and this is week three. If you're a brave soul, Brent and I do it. I don't know if Brent's going to do it this year, but I've done it every year where I give up coffee this time of year. And
I'm due.
You are due. Yeah, I have
this time.
Literally 6 ounces of half decaf, half regular espresso, and that's not very much. So I know, Brent, you can handle a lot more coffee than I can, but so that's what we do. If you're up for it, you want to take a break from coffee, spring and summer is a really good time to do that because, you know, when it's hot out, you're less craving it. And there's a week, you know, there's a process to do. You want to be really careful how you eliminate coffee, right? That headache, that cold turkey coffee headache, no way.
Okay.
No way. Tried it, done it, never doing that again. Yep, and then week four, we have an interview with Donna Gates, and week five, Byron Katie, the beautiful Byron Katie. And we go into the deeper aspects of healing and looking at the understanding the source of our pain. Now, again, we'll be doing a lot of these exercises throughout. So what a fun, beautiful journey. We love to take this time with you. It's always different every time. We have a lot of repeats, but the energy field we create together is always different. And you all are absolutely participating in the healing in this process. So thank you for that. So why don't we open the lines, Brent? Tell them how to open the lines if they have a question or comment or anything. We sometimes ask for jokes, but I'm out of jokes. don't even try anymore.
Well, there's a lot of, yeah. Okay. So just press 2 on your phone and it'll raise your hand. I'll see a little digital hand raise and we can bring you on the call.
Yeah, anybody that has a question, comments, if you've been in the program before and you feel like sharing with the group that hasn't been in the program before, if you want to share.
We got some serious veterans, right? I mean, we've had people been here with us for 4 years. This is our 15th. I think this is our 15th session.
You say serious veterans. Yeah. It's
serious
so
veterans.
Great. It's
that's right.
I just am so touched by it. It's amazing. It's like I feel like we're on this big, you know, train together and we're gaining momentum and just beautiful thing. So do we have a shy group? Is there anybody?
We have a little shy group today.
Anybody?
That's okay.
Dana,
can
I do something that might provoke a
of
problem?
Course.
At least somebody that, so here's the thing to remember. I attend trainings all the time with some of the brightest people that I can find. And I'm used to be embarrassed to ask questions. And then I just started thinking, and I'm spending a lot of money. I mean, sometimes they're really expensive. But I ask these questions, and then people come up to me on break and say, God, I really wish I was brave enough to ask those questions because I didn't know that either. So I'm in a room with people that do this for a living all the time, and we're all still scared to say something like we might look stupid or we might ask the wrong thing. Please feel free to ask anything or comment on anything. It's not a sign of weakness, ever.
Well, it's funny. I think we have a mixed group this time, and inside the smaller group in the sessions, we have lots of participation, and that's perfectly fine. Mark, do you want to add to anything that was said here?
I'd love to add to. I think that when you're talking about, since I haven't had coffee in almost 4 years. But I have.
I feel sorry for you.
I know. I don't miss it at all. Never did miss it. You know, when I was in law school, I was a coffee addict. That's how I kept awake. But we all have things that are like coffee. You know, clearly chocolate is one of my things, and I try and eat the good stuff, but sometimes I don't because I'm traveling and I need something. And the withdrawal can be bad for anyone, depending on what you're doing. But I find that if I put in so many of the good things, then I don't have a withdrawal. So that's what I keep trying to do is build myself out of, you know, you're talking about the coffee headaches. And it's like I work with a lot of people that want to give up coffee. And I'm going, you don't get to give that up. You get to put in something that's going to make you so strong that you're I only had a third of the cup. You know, because you won't want it. Your taste buds will change. Your cravings will change. And you will just find yourself not finishing your cup. And it'll be like, and I'm going to tell you, I think that coffee, when you're in a certain stage you're in, is therapeutic. It keeps your colon working. It does a bunch of other things. So giving it up cold turkey sometimes is really hard. That's why I'd much rather get stronger and find it just going away.
No, never. Again, that's not an essential part of the program. It's just for people that feel like, okay, I'm really relying on coffee and I want to even just cut back a little bit just to give your adrenals a break. And I have these really great coffee substitutes that are liver supportive with dandelion root tea and maca. So you're getting that energy from the maca. And I agree with you. I mean, the coffee, I'm just going to say it, the coffee poop trigger is amazing, right? You drink a cup of coffee and you go for a lot of people. So that's a really hard thing to give up, and there's actually ways to get through that in the detox process that we have here. Okay, you guys, a lot of information. You know, and the other thing with coffee, we're going to get too involved, but the bitter taste, people like coffee because they're actually looking for the bitter, right, Mark? And the bitter is helping the liver, but we can use...
No question. Yeah, that's why you have to transition and put other foods in that provide that.
Well,
and
that's why bitter.
Dandelion
root is very bitter and stimulating to the liver. So, no takers on questions, comments, Brent, anyone?
No, that's okay. Okay. You know, we got a nice journey ahead of us. It's gonna be fun, and we all get to know each other inside the Facebook group, and then get the family together, and go from there. I'm excited.
It's really fun. We get to be kind of silly, and I just do want to give people a heads up. We do talk about Lyme in relation to this program. We don't go into the minutia about Lyme and the horrors of Lyme and co-infections. We talk about how to support your body to give it the strength it needs to fight this infection. So I think that's really appreciated in this program, because it automatically takes you out of that mode. You know, I watch some of these summit things, and I start feeling really symptomatic, to be honest. And it's not to say that it's not really important information, but I think you gotta balance it out quite a bit with some positivity. So thank you, everyone. Thank you, Brent, so much. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, everyone on this call, and everybody listening to the recording. Hey, Brent, can you tell everyone how to join us if they'd like to come in for the next 5 weeks?
Yeah. We can send emails out, but limelesslivemore.com/spring. We'll get you to the page that details everything going on over the next 6 weeks. And there's a little, you know, join us, get in with us button of some sorts at the bottom. Click it, fill in the order form, and get in with us. And you get an email how to get into our members area, how to join our Facebook group, and everything is inside. So deadline is on Monday, right, Dana?
Monday, you know, it'll slide into Tuesday because it's a holiday. But, our doors are going to close Tuesday. And just so you know, that what this looks like is you have a login, and you go to the site, and you have a login, and you go to the back area, I like to call it, the members area, where it's kind of like a private secured website that's just for you and just for our members. So you can always refer back to it. All the information is there. It's like a whole dashboard for you. It's really simple and easy to follow, and always recommend you get in the Facebook group because lots of energy and a lot of questions answered there. Okay, you guys are awesome. Thank you, Mark. Any last thing you want to say there?
Oh, I just thought of one thing that we didn't mention. For anyone that's wanting to do liver work, I'm going to suggest castor oil packs on your abdomen and your liver will always help, and it's cheap
and
it's easy
that's
to
always
do.
Always, that's in there. Of course it's in there, Mark.
I know, but I thought I'd say it for the new people that hadn't heard it yet.
Okay, it's in the program. And there's a really cool, thank you for bringing it up. There's a really cool castor oil pack hack if you're traveling. It makes it a lot cleaner. And yes, I agree, Mark. It can be so gentle and almost miraculous in what it can do, that castor oil pack. Okay, you guys. I hope you're feeling good and refreshed, and really would love to meet you inside. Thank you. Thank you all. Have a great day
and
weekend.
Bye, Brent.
Okay.
All right. Have a great weekend.
Okay.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.